In your Bibles tonight, the Gospel of John, chapter number 13. Tonight we'd like to, as we think about going into this new year, we'd like to think on the thought of a happy people. A happy people. And first off, may I say that God is not against His people being happy. Sometimes, before I was saved, I thought you couldn't really believe the Bible and be a happy people. Well, how wrong I was. And I'm so glad God in His patience showed me something different than that. So we find here in John chapter 13, the Lord Jesus is preparing to go to the cross. He's going to die there. He who knew no sin is going to become sin, that we who were full of sin might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And as He prepares His people for His leaving, He's not preparing for His leaving, He's not preparing Himself for leaving. He came to do what He's going to do. He came to die. But He's preparing His people. And so in verse number 1 of chapter 13, we begin and we find these words. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. Let me stop. This is not the message. But Jesus' love is not helter-skelter. It's not, I love you one time and I can't stand you the next. The Bible says of the Lord Jesus that He loved the world, He loved His own, and He loved them unto the end. Thank God for that. Verse number 2, and supper being... Oh, and I underlined the word supper there too. It wasn't dinner. It was supper. Amen. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God, He rises from supper, and laid aside His garments, and took a towel and girded Himself. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. Then cometh He to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto Him, Lord, dost Thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do Thou knowest not now, but Thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto Him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. And we're going to stop our reading right there. It is said that Benjamin Franklin, when he was promoting the original paperwork for the United States of America, he was making a lot of speeches and talking to people and trying to convince people that what they had drawn up was sufficient. And he came across a heckler, which is not unusual for a political speaker to find. And somebody said to him, Now, them words don't mean anything at all. Actually, he said, they don't mean nothing at all. And where's all the happiness? And how are you going to guarantee this happiness? And you, there's no way you can guarantee us this happiness. And Benjamin Franklin smiled and said, My friend, the Constitution only guarantees the people of America the right to pursue happiness, and you have to catch it yourself. And I believe that's true about political freedom and political happiness that we have because of the Constitution of the United States and the paperwork that was drawn up some 240 years ago. But I believe that there's also something to be said about obedience to Christ if we're going to claim the happiness that He has for us. He has happiness for us, but He said, happy are ye if you do them. Now the Lord desires His people to be happy. He uses the word happy in some form 28 times in the Bible. It's not used as often as a lot of other words are, but it's enough that we ought to understand the truth of it. And of course, the secret to spiritual truth and spiritual joy is found in obedience to Christ. And I think that there's a recipe right here in this portion of Scripture if we'll understand it. And I want to give you some short things tonight to think about. First off, the Bible says if we're going to have a happy life, if we're going to be a happy people, we're going to have to continuously be a people that are a serving people. We're going to have a servant's life. In verses 3 and 5, 3, 4 and 5, the Bible says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, that He was come from God and went to God, He rises from supper and laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself. And after He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. This is a lesson He gives us in humility. You see, washing feet washing was a thing that the slaves did. Now somebody says, well, why don't we do that today? Here's the reason we don't do it today, because nowhere in the Bible are we commanded to do it as a New Testament Baptist church. Nowhere. Nowhere do we find any church in succession from the first church that ever practiced washing feet in the Bible. They don't. It's just not there. The General Baptist Association, they have three ordinances. They have baptism, the Lord's Supper, and feet washing. And as a man came to our church and visited our church, loved our church, was in our church for some time when we were in Colorado Springs, he came to me and said, Pastor, I don't understand why we don't wash feet. He said, it's a very humbling experience. And he said, Preacher, I'd be proud to wash your feet. And I said, that's my point exactly. You'd be proud to wash my feet. And a thing that's supposed to be a thing of humility and a put down has become a thing to lift us up. Foot washing was so serious of a matter that the Jewish slave owned by another Jew, in the control of another Jew, didn't even have to wash feet. Gentile slaves had to, but Jewish slaves didn't, because they thought it was below the feet, below the persona, below the responsibility of even a Jewish slave. It was a very humiliating thing. And the Lord Jesus was willing to do this. He was willing to do this to show us something about humility and about a servant's life. The master became a servant. You remember the Bible says that Jesus, being found in the form of a servant, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But the Bible says that He did not count it robbery to be counted equal with God. He was God in human flesh. He still is. But He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death. The Master used this lesson to rebuke the selfishness of the disciples that He is getting ready to leave when He went back to heaven to be with His Father. In Luke chapter 22 and verse number 24, the Bible says, there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And of course here the Bible says, you know, this one thought He was the greatest and this one thought He was the greatest. And the Bible says that Jesus rebuked them for that. Excuse me. And Jesus, who was the greatest, took upon Himself this very menial thing, this very humbling, forbidden thing. He took it upon Himself. Someone says, well, then how can we do this? How can we humble ourselves like this? Pardon me, if we're not going to wash feet like Jesus did. Well, I think there's some ways. I think we could help carry another person's burdens. You know, having enough time to stop by and say, is there a problem? Can I help you? Do you need some encouragement? Can I pray with you? All those types of things. By forgiving another's trespass. You know, sometimes we know that if they ask us for forgiveness, we have to forgive them. So sometimes we just try to stay away so they have no opportunity to ask us to forgive them. And we need to be people who forgive. And in forgiving, I believe, is a very humbling thing.
and then to reach outside of our local group. We have a group, we have a wonderful group of people, but we need to be able to reach outside our group of people and serve a people that we've never met, a people we have no idea how they could help us or if they could, or even if we know that they couldn't ever be able to help us. We have the responsibility to reach outside. And of course, He expects us, the Lord Jesus expects us to be in the business of serving people. And then there's a lesson here, not only in humility, but there's a lesson in honor. And we stop and think about the people whose feet Jesus washed. This was just before He got ready to go to heaven, just before Judas had checked out and went out to receive his 30 pieces of silver. Jesus washed the feet of John. Now, somebody would say, well, you know, John was a pretty good guy. He was the one always closest to Jesus. He was the one that laid his head on Jesus' breast at the Last Supper, and he was the one that Jesus called the beloved, and He referred to him as the beloved. And yes, that's true. But he and his brother James were always time trying to get ahead of everybody else. In Luke chapter 9 and verse number 54, the Bible said, when the disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Isaiah did? And we find that, of course, the Lord Jesus rebuked him for that. And then in Mark chapter 10 and verse number 34, they said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one on the right hand and the other on the left hand in glory. And yet Jesus was washing this man's feet. John had his problems just like everybody else did. He washed Peter's feet. Peter, of course, objected to it for a while, said, you'll never wash my feet. We'll talk about that again in a little bit. But he's going to deny the Lord Jesus three times in just a little bit. And then he's going to curse and swear to prove that what he said in denying him was the truth. Thomas, doubting the resurrection, doubting the fact that Jesus Christ had actually come back to life again. And even Judas, the one who today, for 2,000 years, has been weeping and wailing and gnashing his teeth in a place called hell. It was his feet that Jesus girded himself about and washed the feet of. You find that down in verse number 27, where the Bible says, in verse 26 and 27, I guess, He gave the sop to Judas and he left him. Jesus says, what thou doest, do quickly. And so we find that it's a servant's life. If we're going to be a happy people, we're going to have to learn to be servants. You know, I've known people over the years that didn't have much. They didn't have two nickels to rub together. They went out probably and wondered, do I walk to church or do I walk home from church because of the gas tank? It wasn't because they had been frivolous with their money or careless with their money. It's just they hadn't had any money. But those people are happy people. Just seemed like you bump into them and just joy just ran out everywhere they had because they were a servant people. They knew what it was just to serve people. They didn't care their station in life. They didn't serve for what they might gain back from it. They just served because they loved the Lord Jesus. They knew what Jesus had done for them, and they just had a servant's life, servant's attitude. And then not only does he talk in this portion of Scripture about a servant's life, but he talks about a separated life. Beginning in verse number 6, going down through here, he talks about the need to wash, to be washed. Peter's confusion in verses 6 through 9, Peter flatly refused to allow the Lord Jesus to wash his feet. And Jesus responds by telling Peter, if I don't wash your feet, it's because I have nothing to do with you. And Peter said, well, then wash my hands and wash my head also. And then Jesus clarifies to him in verse number 10. He says, and Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. And so here Jesus simply points to him that if you've been saved, you don't need to get saved over again and again and again. In fact, the Bible says you can't. If it were possible to be lost, it would be impossible to be saved a second time. The Bible's pretty clear about that. So we don't have to get saved again and again and again and again.
But as we're washed once, we're clean, and the Bible says every whit we're clean. But walking through this old dirty world, we get our feet dirty, and we have to have our feet washed. And that simply means we need to come back to the Lord once in a while and confess our sin and have clean feet. So when we're walking through the world looks at our feet and they say, oh, my goodness, this man's clean from top to bottom. We need to be a clean people. God talks to us about that. David understood that. David said in Psalms chapter 32 and verse number 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Without the part of a separated life, it's impossible. Impossible for God's people to really be a happy people. If you want to be a happy person in 2020, you're going to have a servant's attitude, and then you're going to have a separated life too. Separated from sin. And then it speaks of a secure life. In verse number 10, Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And of course here the Bible simply says that the finished cleaning is all done. Nothing needed. Nothing at all needed. In addition, talks about security. You know, if I thought I had to hang on and hold on and endure to the end, I'd make it maybe 5 minutes. I got frustrated on the way coming to church tonight, getting the last minute things ready to come to church tonight. I got frustrated, and finally I just had to stop and catch my breath and say, Lord, it's sure a good thing I can't lose my salvation for what I think. And the Lord said, I wondered if you'd come to that conclusion. You know, we need to understand that we're saved every whit. We need not anything else. Secure in Him. We need to understand we're secure in Christ Jesus. You see, in Christ Jesus, He's everything we need to make salvation complete. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We need to understand when a sinner trusts Christ for salvation, Christ cleans him up, lock, stock, and barrel. So you say, how do we know? And well, we have His word on it. We have His word on it. We have His promises. In John chapter 3 and verse number 16. The day I was licensed for the ministry, because they were getting ready to send my wife and I and our little boy and Tuesday to Gillette, Wyoming, to start a New Testament Baptist church there. And when they were licensed me, they said, what do you think would fulfill your life? What do you need to fulfill God's will for your life? And I said, really, I really think John 3:16 would do it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just knowing that and telling that. Well, I've learned since then. I've learned a lot of things since then. But I do believe that right there is in the heart of eternal security, the heart of eternal satisfaction, the heart of happiness is just knowing that you've been set free by the grace of God and you're free to live for Him. Not free to do what we want to do, but free to live for Him. And we have His promises. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He's given us a promise of His power. The Bible says we're kept by the power of God. I'm not kept by something I do or don't do. I'm kept by the power of God. And then I have His prayers. The Bible says He ever liveth to make intercession for me. And I'm kept by His person. The Bible says God hath raised us up and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then it's full cleansing, every whit. When Jesus cleanses us, He's took care of our sin, past, present, and future. Listen to these verses, Colossians 3:2 and verse number 13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven all trespasses. 1 John 2 and verse number 12 says, I write unto you little children because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Psalms 103 and verse 12, for as far as east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us.
Isaiah 38 and verse number 17, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love for my soul delivered me from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Isaiah 43 and verse number 25 says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Oh, tonight we need to understand that we are complete in him. Complete in him. We can be a happy people. But then there is a false calm that's mentioned here in verse number 10 also. Those last three words ought to cause us to search our heart and cause us to be concerned about some other people. He says to Peter, he says, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean. Then those last three words. But not all. Not all. There's some people who have a foolish claim. You know, they went to church one time. They were baptized as a child. They were raised in a Christian home. I've always been saved. I've always known the Lord. All kinds of things. That's foolishness. Now think what Jesus said in verse number 17. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. I wonder tonight if the Lord wouldn't be telling us that if we're not happy, perhaps it's because we're not doing some of these things. Perhaps we're not the servant that God wants us to be. Perhaps not. And then, of course, we get over in the New Testament a little further. James says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We need to understand the importance of doing what God says to do. We can know it. We can even know it. But happiness and joy comes when we start doing what we as a child of God know we ought to do. I want 2020 to be the happiest year of my life. I want it to be the happiest year of Bethel Baptist Church's life. But it won't be if we're not a doing church, if we're not a doing people. But it can be if we do what we're supposed to do, if we do what we know we're supposed to do. Let's pray, okay? My Father, I thank you tonight that you love us, and I pray in Jesus' name you'd help us, Lord, to be doers of the word and not hearers only. I pray, Father, that you would help us to understand the importance of not only a servant's life, but a separated life and a secure life. Lord, knowing who it is that we believed, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able. Oh, Father, thank you that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Father, would you make us a happy people? Help us, Lord, to allow you as individuals, to allow you to make us a happy people, that others might see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Help us, Father, to so live that others might find us ready to give an answer to every man that asketh us a reason of the hope that's in us. Father, work in our lives that we could be a happy people. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, shall we please? Our heads bowed, our eyes closed. The pianist is going to begin to play. If you need to come and talk to the Lord, we invite you to come. Talk to him.